Welcome in here to week number two of Trojan Preview on KJN, our chance to speak with Atlantic Head football coach Mike McDermott. Coach, thanks for your time.
Yeah, thanks, Chris, and thanks to KJN for covering us.
Well, obviously a good start to the season. Week number one was a success. You picked up a 40-0 victory over Clarinda, and not just the fact that you got a win, but the way that you did it. I thought that you did a lot of things successfully, both on the offense and defensive side of the ball, and that helped you come away victorious in week one.
Yeah, it's something that we can now build off here going into week two. Pleased with our kids, how they focused last week and how they handled things both on both sides of the ball, as well as special teams. We still have a few things that we needed to clean up this week, but we feel pretty comfortable with where we're at right now.
Well, offensively, you get five different guys to get in the end zone, so that, I think, speaks volumes about the number of weapons that you have out there and, that you have the ability to spread things out.
Yeah, five different guys, get in the end zone, five or six different guys catch footballs. We have four or five guys running the football. We've got some depth there, which is kind of nice. And it also helps when, defensives try to take one thing away. We know we have confidence and go another way. So kind of nice this year to be able to do that. And, kind of running the spread offense, that's what it's all about. You're trying to spread the ball around and keep the defense on its heels.
I think one thing you were also able to do successfully is some of those guys that were having success, you're able to move them around the field a little bit and get them in different spots to kind of keep that defense off guard.
Yeah, that's one of the things that we talked about at the beginning of the year with our kids is moving guys around in different formations, different sets. And when you just based off of formation or the motion game that we have, it's going to open somebody up. So, and I thought our quarterback did a nice job of making reads and finding the guy that was going to be open.
Yeah, that was another thing that helped you out a lot. Jackson Eden, I thought, was pretty efficient all night long. There was only maybe a couple of balls that I noticed that he maybe overthrew a little bit, but otherwise he was pretty on target.
Yeah, very accurate. And we've talked about that, at the beginning of the year. His accuracy was probably his, number one feature. He doesn't have a huge arm, but he can throw the ball down the field at times. But, the biggest thing with Jackson is his leadership. You don't see it necessarily out on the field, but in the huddle, breaking the huddle, getting guys in the right spot, and then executing the play. He's come a long way.
We already kind of touched on this, but the fact that you were able to have a number of different guys be able to catch balls or run with it. I thought there were a number of guys that maybe stepped up and showed – everybody out there that, hey, I'm here and I can be an impactful player as well, not somebody that maybe jumped off the roster for you at the beginning of the season, but were able to step in there and make big plays.
Yeah, a number of guys on both sides of the football, special teams-wise as well. So we've got guys we're happy with where we're at right now. We still need to improve. We worked on that this week, just some of the fundamental things. But, we've got a number of guys that we feel comfortable if we put the ball in their hands are going to make a play for us.
On the defensive side of the ball, I thought you did a pretty good job of being able to contain what Clarinda was trying to do. Their offense can get a little bit weird and tricky sometimes, and you guys, I thought, for the most part, played pretty good assignment defense.
Yeah, everybody kind of did what they were supposed to. That's kind of the idea on defense. But, when they did try to kind of break one, our safety personnel were right in there, helping make a touchdown-saving tackle here. So, there were a couple of those that, we had to have. And team defense, and that showed on the scoreboard too.
Well, and you also get that opportunity to filter in some more guys that maybe you wouldn't have. It's a really close game. Your scoreboard gets away a little bit. You have the chance to throw some other guys in there, giving them an opportunity, and a lot of those guys stepped up.
Yeah, again, another pleasing thing to see. A couple times there, Clarinda late in the game had kind of, pushed into our side of the field, and at one time kind of fairly deep, but our number twos and number threes that were in there, stepped up, made some plays, and got us a football back. So, that's good to see, too. We talk a lot with our kids about developing their talent, and we want to put some of those twos and threes in situations there. Where they have to show us, hey, we can play too.
Yeah, and it certainly helps build that depth and, give those guys confidence when their number is called upon because, as we all know, football is a sport where somebody's going to go down for one reason or another at some point, and that next guy has to be ready.
Yeah, sooner or later somebody's getting injured or whatever it may be. You know, maybe it's a death in the family or something that they have to miss, and you know, we need the next guy. So developing that talent and building, you know, that those guys' confidence, putting them in, you know, a live situation in a varsity game is always a benefit.
Well, you now get to move on here from week one to week two against a Shenandoah team that lost to a very good AHSTW team in week number one. The thing that stood out a little bit from looking at their numbers is they were able to put up a little bit of offense. They may not have showed up on the scoreboard for them, but their running back, Mason Silence, obviously looks like a guy that you're going to have to key on a little bit.
Yeah, you know, they do a great job with Mason. They move him around from the fullback position to kind of their tailback, slot back, and then even out to wideout, and, you know, get him the ball in multiple different areas, and he gets to kind of showcase his talent. So we have to be aware defensively of where he's at and, you know, what they're going to try and do when they move him to those, you know, different spots. Their other guy is their quarterback, Kyle Owens. He's just as good a runner as he is a passer. So those two guys are going to be our keys this week on defense. And if we don't get them stopped, it could be a long night.
Well, I guess it has to help a little bit that these two teams are, I think, somewhat similar in the fact that they want to run the football first. They're mostly going to keep it on the ground. So that has to help you prepare a little bit.
Yeah, it does in some regards. In other regards, it's a little bit different style of running the football. Shenandoah's running the option game, and it's, you know, stood the test of time. It's, you know, I call it kind of the great equalizer. If you maybe don't have the greatest athletes or you can't match up your athletes, the option is a great offense to be running. So our defense is going to have a little challenge tonight, and, you know, they're going to have to play assignment football.
Offensively, obviously you had a lot of success in week number one, but a different opponent brings different challenges. What do they do defensively that's going to cause a problem?
Well, you know, we talked with our kids both sides of the ball that we're going to have to be disciplined. And what that means on offense is we're going to have to use multiple counts. We're not going to be able to go on one every time, so to speak. So that's something we've worked on a little bit. And we're going to have to continue to use our formations and motion game to kind of develop an advantage, maybe cause some confusion on their defense, and just execute. They like to blitz about every play. So our O-linemen are going to have to be disciplined in their steps and keep their head up and see, you know, where's those blitzing linebackers coming from, and then get a body on a body. And if we do that, you know, I like our chances. If we don't, we're going to get put into some, you know, second and third and longs, and that's not good for anybody's offense.
Yeah, last week you were able to mix it up because you were having success a lot of times on first down. You could, you know, take a chance and maybe shoot one down the field and not feel like you're still behind the sticks. Obviously, that helps out a play caller a lot.
Definitely. I think the only time we, you know, got really behind the sticks was a penalty on a long play. We had a guy downfield illegally. He was just trying to make a play and was caught up in the moment. So those things happen, but we got to keep those to a minimum. And, you know, I told our kids, hey, you know, we're okay with aggressive penalties. And that was an aggressive penalty. He was going after a guy trying to block him, and, you know, they got the flag thrown. But we can't be behind the sticks, as you mentioned, or it puts a lot of pressure on everybody.
Well, when you do step out there on the field defensively against a team that will run some option, obviously that does change a little bit of the cues, especially for those guys playing end and linebacker. You know, I guess is it a lot more important recognizing where that formation sits to be lined up properly?
Well, they use about the same formation. It's just, you know, making the key on what type of option play they're running. They'll run something right off the center called midline. They'll run a little inside veer, which is kind of off the guard, inside the tackle. So with each play, you've got to recognize, you know, what is the option play, and then what is my responsibility on that option play. So it can be tricky at times, and Shenandoah does a nice job of mixing it up and using some different motions to put some pressure on your defense. So we're going to have to tackle well and know our assignment and keys.
Well, and some of that inside midline stuff is going to be stuff that comes at you really quick, so you don't have that opportunity to think and react. Sometimes you need to be in that right spot, and you need to be kind of recognizing where it's coming. Otherwise, they're hitting you before you realize what's going on.
Yeah, hopefully, you know, you create enough reps in practice that it just becomes second nature. But, you know, it's kind of a short week now. Every week's kind of a short week, so you don't know if you had quite as many reps as you wanted. You know, I think we're pretty comfortable with where we're at, but it's still a concern with the coaching staff, that's for sure.
Well, coaches always talk about making a big jump and a big leap from week one to week two as far as progress from your team. Have you seen that in practice this week?
Yeah, you know, on some different levels there. Monday, I thought we had a really good practice. Tuesday, not so much. I don't know if it was – I don't know what it was. But we talked after practice with our seniors that that wasn't acceptable. And then they came out Wednesday, and it might have been our best practice of the year. So kind of some peaks and valleys this week. And we're getting ready to play football. So, you know, now it's time to line up and just play football.
Well, you're kind of into that routine now, too, of the season. You're in here to week number two, so I think you probably have an idea. The kids know what to expect week in and week out, and this is what we're going to do on this day. So that probably has to help a little bit with their mindset, too.
Yeah, definitely. You know, the tricky thing now is now we got JV games on Monday nights or Tuesday here coming up. And so that always puts a little bit different, you know, way you do things at practice because, you know, those JV players are often your scout team. And they might have played a full JV game on Monday night and then come around and they have to, you know, crank it up again for your varsity starters on their scout team. And it's tough to do and you want to protect those kids too. You know, they don't need to be going 100% three, four nights out of the week. So we try to balance that. It gets pretty tricky at times, and you know, that might have been some of the reason for the letdown on Tuesday, but we got to rectify that, and hopefully that'll get rectified next week.
Well, you get to come home here as well. It'll be the first home game of the season, and I'm sure you're looking forward to having a nice home crowd there to support you and create that atmosphere that the kids need.
Yeah, we had a great crowd on the road last week, I felt. And, you know, our kids are excited about coming back home to the Trojan Bowl. We're putting in some work, or we did put in some work on Thursday night on the Trojan Bowl. That was going to be part of our team night. So we did a little painting and some of those things. So our kids are excited to, you know, showcase their skills in front of the home crowd.
Well, Coach, we look forward to hopefully another successful week here for you, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. Appreciate it.
All right, that's Atlantic head football coach Mike McDermott. That's Trojan Preview here in week number two on KJN.